This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael. Hey, you remember years ago when they started changing the whole idea of the college football playoffs and how it wasn't going to just be two teams play for the national title, then it was a four-team playoff, and then now we're here with the 12. You remember how much squabbling there was when you had the two in? You went to about five, six, seven deep of an argument now. I remember saying, all this is going to do when you create the four-team playoff, now it's going to go 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 deep. Well, now that you have a 12-team playoff, it's going to go 14, 15, 16, 17 deep, and especially when you throw in the G5 conference champion situation, too, you're not going to make anybody happy no matter what. It's always going to be those first five teams that are left out in the cold. And even though we're complaining that Notre Dame, for some, and Michael disagrees with me, but I, well, maybe not. I think Miami should be ranked above Notre Dame. Well, Marcus Freeman, the head coach for Notre Dame, is not happy with Alabama moving to number nine. He said, we're never going to agree, especially when your program is the one that's getting dropped after winning by 20-something points. There are as many Notre Dame fans that are upset, including myself, as there's going to be Alabama fans that are happy. I don't always understand it personally. I'm sure the committee gave a legitimate reason. That doesn't mean we agree. This is how you set it up, man. How do you clean this up? Because, Mike, even your idea with your football elitist mentality of just saying 1 through 12, you're still going to piss off 13, 14, 15, 16, probably 17. So how do you fix it, Mike? You're the commissioner for a day. What do you do?
Merit.
Okay, Miami should be
in. Get rid of all the teams that don't deserve to be there.
Okay. Then Notre Dame's pissed at you. Notre Dame's pissed at you. Because Miami and BYU could make a case they deserve to be in over Notre Dame.
Are they ranked in the top 12?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they deserve to go.
Well, Miami is whatever Miami is. What did I say they were? 14?
If you're not in the top 12,
well,
you
who's,
don't go.
Who's deciding that, though? That's the whole point of this. Miami is 12. BYU is 11. Notre Dame is 10. Like, again, if you're going to just have... If you're going to have conferences at the FBS level, Division I FBS, they should all be allowed some kind of a seat because not everybody, it's just not possible for everybody to have a tough schedule. It's not possible. So you're screwing all these teams over that they can't possibly create the same schedule that the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12 and even the ACC can create.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
How does the FCS do it?
Theirs is not. Based on, I mean, it's.
Let's do it like they do.
I don't know exactly how they do it. I think it's like the top.
I don't ever hear people go, Montana State shouldn't be in it, and the university cows and pigs.
Well, okay, who? I mean, let's be fair. Who's talking about that like on a national daily basis?
There are people out there.
Who?
There are people out there.
Where are you listening to those people? Okay, so it's 24 teams compete. 10 teams qualify automatically by winning their conference championship. Uh-oh! So that would go against your whole argument here. winning your conference championship. 10 teams qualify automatically by winning their conference championship. At-large bids, there's 14 additional teams are selected by the playoff committee to fill the remaining spots. Sounds like they're trying to do the same thing, Michael. So,
well,
there
then
you
I
go.
Take it back.
There you go. But the FCS format is right. That's right. That's how you do it. If you're going to have conferences in the same world, then you give them a chance to get in. And I know you can't realistically just say, because how many conferences are there in the FBS? Is it 11 or 12 or something? I've always said, go deep with it, man. Go 20. Put 20 teams in there. Every conference champ gets in. And then the rest are at-large bids. That's what the FCS does. Let's do that.
And if you're going to do your conference champions, and if they're not in the top 25, then they get the worst seeding.
Sure.
And they play the best team.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I have no
problem
with that.
They don't get money.
They get money for going to the playoffs.
No, they don't deserve to be.
You would be Charlie Baker. You would be worse than Charlie Baker. At least he's doing nothing. You would do the opposite. You would do the negative. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 10 conferences, and then you have your independents, which I have my thoughts on that too. Two independent teams. No, I think you. Aaron says, I think a lack of a conference hurts Notre Dame. Yeah, but it helped them over Miami, even though Miami beat them. There's no clean way to do this. But if we said 11, what did I say, 10? 10 conference champs get in. That would still leave 10 more spots for at-large bids. Boom, fixed it. 20 teams in. How many teams get in the NFL playoffs? Is it 14?
Way too many.
No.
A 7-9 team does not belong.
It's fine. 14 teams is perfect for the NFL. You're going to argue with the NFL? Really? The NFL, every move they make works, except for kickoff. That's dumb. No, I'm going, give me 11 conference champs. Give me 9 at-large bids. It's basically what's going on right now. You're going from 12, add 8 more. Bam, we got it done. Then every conference means something. Then potentially teams get money spread out. Are they going to be boat raced a lot? Yeah. But this also spreads it out, man. I think that more 3-4-star guys consider going and playing for Tulane and say, I'm going to go rock it over there, make the playoff, win my conference championship, win my conference. Or win it and get in, and now I've got national. Now my name's getting some national attention there. I think it spreads it all out. Why are you looking at me like I just stole your dog?
I don't have a dog.
So you're fine with the current way they do this?
No, I'm thinking that maybe I should write down my own way of doing things, and it will be better.
Well, yours is just it's very simple, 1 through 12. Because they have harder conference schedule, they have harder schedules. The point I'm saying with 11 conferences and each conference having what 18 teams in it, there's no possible way of them having your so-called sacred tough schedule. There's no possible way, because if the SEC and they're all playing tough schedules and then the Big 12 is playing tough schedules, but you can't possibly have everybody. It's not fair. It's not. It's not fair to the SEC, to be honest. They have to play a tougher schedule. The Big 12 beats each other up. It's not fair to them, but it's not fair to the Mountain West because they can only get 4 opportunities to have your so-called, you know, tough schedule kind of deal. It's hard to do it. And to be honest, if you're a good G5 school, there's not a lot of blue bloods that really want to play you to start. Do you think Oregon loved the idea that they had to play Boise State last year when Boise State was really good? That a loss to Boise State would have killed them. Would have ended their season.
Oregon,
so they don't want to do those kind of games.
Oregon would welcome that. There are teams out there that go out and schedule. Didn't Texas play Ohio State?
Yeah.
Texas played Ohio State. They're like, we want a good schedule.
Yeah, but that loss isn't going to kill them. A loss to Boise State would kill you.
They weren't going to lose to Boise State, though.
It was close. it was, I mean, Boise State had them on the ropes, man. And then ultimately lost. But it was that loss that really catapulted Boise State. I just, there's no clean way to do it. But if you want to avoid some of the arguments here, you get, people are going to be pissed, though, because they don't want to see a champion from Conference USA in, or the MAC in. They don't want to see Mountain West teams get in. But that's why we're getting to the point where then let's call it what it is and call this professional. The CFP is just a professional brand of football, and they break off and do their own thing. That's where we're headed. Eastside Chris says, Brady, to get a playoff bracket with 20 teams, would it not require four byes? Probably. I haven't done the math yet, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to do it. At some point, we're going to do it. ACC commissioner pushes for number 12 Miami league champ into the college football playoffs. Jim Phillips is the ACC commissioner. He was in an interview with the Associated Press. He said, I have conviction and confidence in our team, starting with Miami. The second piece of that is the Virginia Duke winner should absolutely be in the college football playoff. If Virginia wins, yes. If Duke wins, no. That's just not the way it's setting up. But you're just wanting in. You said merit. So he's basically saying Duke should get in because they're in the ACC. Smitty texting in. Each conference chooses how to determine their own champion, which is dumb. But it sometimes is counterproductive to what's best for that conference. They trade conference championship games, game money, for common sense. Yes. The whole conference championship thing goes against what the NCAA is. The fact that Miami is number 12 and they're not playing in their conference championship game, who's in charge here? Each conference should not. Is there a commissioner of the AFC West, Michael?
Nope.
If there was, wouldn't we have issues?
Oh, yeah.
If every division in football had a commissioner and they decide, you know what, we're not going to do it based on head-to-head or records. We're going to do it differently. We're going to go strength of schedule. Or who was better at the time they beat them, they played them, whatever. Because that's what you hear in the NFL, because the beautiful part of the NFL, Michael, is this. Broncos are 10-2. What is the national rhetoric saying about the Broncos? Well, they haven't played anybody, really, especially about the Patriots. But at the end of the day, you can only play the schedule that's in front of you. They don't make their own schedules. The schedules come to them. And sometimes it looks like an easier schedule. It turns out to be a hard schedule. Sometimes it looks like a hard schedule. Turns out to be an easy schedule. The beauty is, it's just the record. We can argue all day. You can get on your computers and say, oh, Cincinnati's better, but they didn't have Burrow, and plus the Patriots had an easier schedule. You can get on your social media apps until your little heart's content. But at the end of the day, the NFL's like, no, we go by records. We go by wins and losses. That's what we do. Now, with 32 teams, it's easier to do that. With college football, it's impossible. This is why you need to find a way to simplify it, and it's only getting more complicated. But the simple fact that conferences are able to do their own thing, the Mountain West Championship is goofy, the ACC Championship is goofy, the fact that Notre Dame is an independent is goofy. It's just wild. But I am at the point where either keep going like this and keep expanding upon it, or call it what it is and have a break, which I know you are advocating for, which is sad to me. Because I, for one, would be fascinated with the idea of Tulane and James Madison getting into the college football playoffs. That would be crazy. And if one of those teams happens to pull off a win, it would be huge for the G5. Every G5 fan out there, including the Pac-12, should be rooting for James Madison and Tulane to go in and do something crazy. Because that would give the committee more confidence to keep this thing going. Now, I, for one, would like to see it, but I don't like it like this. I mean, it is clunky. It is crappy that Miami is 12, but they're likely going to get replaced by a 25 or a whatever Tulane is. It's not ideal. It's unfair to Miami But it's also unfair to these G5 schools who can't build a conference, can't build a real schedule, like a full-on schedule, where they can say every win was a big one. They can't do it. There's not enough weeks in the season to be able to build those types of schedules. So when you're talking about the Big 12 having a tougher schedule, so they should get in over this team, it's mathematically impossible for a good portion of the G5 schools to create this so-called sacred schedule that you want. So this is the way you have to do it. When you have this many teams at the FBS level, it's just going to be weird. It's going to be clunky. And if you're going to have conferences in the FBS Division I and so-called playing for the same thing, they should be allowed and I'm happy with just the one chance shot at the table here, but there's no doubt it's really getting confusing. So I like your idea, even though you're going back on it, of doing the FCS playoff format. Let's do that. It's 2014, Mike. So they do it, and people seem to like it. So go with 20 teams, go with 10 conference champs, and then you got 11 at-large bids. That's not that hard to do. You sign off on that. Yeah, you sign off on it.
I can't wait to watch all the weaker conferences get run, and then everybody complain, well, we can't have the weaker conferences play number one because that's just not
fair.
No one's
complaining about that. No one's complaining about that. They know
Everyone
what it is.
Everyone will complain about that.
They know what it is. The weaker conferences go up against number one.
Play St. Mary's Texas Northern University.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think any G5 school would or fan base would object to that.
Yeah, but the St. Mary's G5 quarterfinal Texas University, whatever I said earlier, like the weak school is going to complain about that. Well, we shouldn't. That's not fair. We should
they
be
won't.
Playing number
well,
one.
Well, okay, then they would be wrong. I would say, fine. Who cares? If you will meet me in the middle, look at us being commissioners. You meet me in the middle. Let's do 20 teams, and the G5, they get the worst seed. Unless they're ranked. But you go with the conference champs, and then you reseed. You just reseed the whole thing. Go with your conference champs. Go with the other remaining 10, and then you, or whatever it is, 11, and then reseed it.
What if your conference champs? What if your conference is so bad your champs are like 7-5?
Like Duke, potentially.
Like, yeah, you can't have a 7-5 team going to the playoffs. I'm sorry. You have to have at least 9 wins.
No, I'm good with conference champs getting in and then you reseed it.
You gotta be conference champs, you have to win 9.
Mm.
If you don't win 9, then your conference can go screw.
Can go screw?
Yeah. Okay. Get the hell out of there.
Get the hell out of there. No. This is... Then call it what it is. Split off and do your own thing. But how are they going to do that? Because the NCAA is supposed to fight for every school. And they would be throwing all those other schools away. How many college football teams are there? A lot? Like 130 or something like that? Is that right?
I'm trying to fix it right now. Hang on.
Fixing what?
How to get the weaker schools stronger.
You give them a chance.
I'm reworking the schedule.
You know how you give them a chance, Mike? If you say that they have a seat at the table if they win their conference championship, then you're going to get better players that say, I have a chance to go to that team. Instead of getting lost in the woods with Alabama, I could go be a star at North Texas. And then we can win our conference championship and just get in the playoffs. That might be their Super Bowl, just getting into the playoffs. But this idea that these... Dude, you're with me on bowl games being stupid, right?
They used to be good.
Because
back
that
when
was
there were
all,
less of them.
And that was all there was.
Yeah. Back when the Rose Bowl...
Why did you want bowl games that weren't the national championship? Why?
Because they were fun to watch, because they meant something.
Okay.
And every now and then, it would be like the number one versus the number three. And one won, or maybe they got run and the number two beat number four and number two was the national champion. Like there was always something like that. And that was always frustrating, but like every now and – but it was fun. Those four main bowls were fun.
Yeah, but – the reason you wanted those bowl games, they didn't have any real venom to them. You weren't winning a national championship. You were just winning a secondary prize. The problem is now is there's a lot of teams. There's 136 FBS Division I teams. And they don't have they have nothing else to play for other than just winning their conference. I truly believe if you spread this thing out, you're going to see more players that are good. Rather than go be a backup D tackle somewhere, they go be a starter at a G5 school and really help a team win their conference championship. Yeah, they might get offers after that. In fact, they will if they go tear it up in a lesser conference, but at least it gives you a chance to get some of these guys if you're going to keep playing this game. 25 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. The Broncos coming up, they did make a big, an interesting signing the last couple of days, and we'll get into that. Elijah Moore joining the Broncos. Interesting, you know, he played for Buffalo for a bit this year. He played for Cleveland the year before that, a couple of years before that, and he played with the Jets. Is he somebody that could really make a difference on this roster, or do you just kind of like where the was this just a depth move, or is this somebody Sean Payton really believes can make a difference as the Broncos try to finish off the season, stay, because make no mistake about it, this is not a team that's content just getting into the playoffs. They want that number one seed. It's Elijah Moore, a guy that can do that. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas.
Merry Christmas from all of us at Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're all in this together.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets Podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Holmes.
You excited about Elijah Moore? Really?
I'm trying to think of a pun.
No, you don't need to. You can just be excited about a player and give me like a real sports guy take on why you would be excited about him instead of just trying to be like a Star Trek guy or something, man. Just helps your depth chart.
I'm always going to be excited, but I don't think he's going to be standout.
Probably like little Jordan Humphrey, bringing him back in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Elijah Moore, he was drafted in 2021, round two. The Jets picked him. He's an Ole Miss guy, so can all root for that. We're rooting for Ole Miss guys now. His best season was a 61 reception year. Last year, had 61 receptions for 100 with 102 targets, 538 yards, and one touchdown. Are you concerned about the depth of wide receiver still on this roster? Is that the problem? Because I kind of still think it's the lack of a run game. Even when you had a good running back, you had a lack of a run game.
I think it's possibly a little bit of both. I thought our wide receivers would be better this year.
I feel
they
like
haven't been.
They're starting to kind of get there maybe. Like
yeah.
Troy Franklin's getting better. He's becoming obviously a big. We wondered if that was going to happen since he and Bo Nix were teammates. Wow, that's weird. Pat Bryant seems like he's getting a little better. This is why I didn't
he dropped
really
a couple, but
yeah,
then he came in clutch.
He came in clutch. Yep. But this is why, like in the offseason, I wasn't crazy about going after a receiver, both in free agency and in the draft. Even though Pat Bryant was in the draft, I wanted the tight end and the running back position really solidified because I wanted to see Cortland Sutton as the leader.
And he hasn't been getting the ball a lot lately.
Bo Nix doesn't seem to be looking for him that much.
Yeah,
in
I know.
In my estimation.
That's bothersome.
It's a little bothersome, especially for my fantasy football team. But Marvin Mims is just kind of getting back into the fold. Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant. They're all young guys outside of Cortland Sutton And my belief was, let's get these guys in, and they're playing more. They're getting more time. I mean, little Jordan Humphrey is not really he's a Peyton guy, though. Sean Payton loves little Jordan Humphrey, but he's a six-year guy. So my thinking was, Courtland Sutton's your staple, and then let these young guys start to get better as they go. Maybe we haven't seen that enough, but...
Also, some of it could be, like, Bo Nix hasn't been as great as he was last year. And I think a lot of it is this sophomore slump. A lot of it is, like, he's had guys wide open, and it's just not seeing them or just airmails them. So I think a lot of it is Bo's fault. And then finally in the fourth quarter, he does that. I think a lot of it's play calling as well.
So bringing Elijah Moore on, how does that... I just realized I called you a moron. Elijah Moore, bringing him on to this roster, how does that help a quarterback that's having a hard time finding the guys that he has on the roster? It's why I still maintain that the better running game is what this team needs. They have the offensive line to do it. Maybe they should have been more aggressive in trying to go after a free agent running back.
I would like to disagree with you just to be controversial, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to agree with you because I think you're right. You got to set up the run more. We've got talent at running back. Got to set it up.
We think we have talent at running back, right? Do we think R.J. Harvey, like, I'm not sure who he is yet.
Yeah, I think he's talented.
I was excited about him. I wanted Travion Henderson, but then when the Broncos ended up getting R.J. Harvey in the second round, I was like, that's a good consolation prize. Like, he's a good running back. He was a good college back. But my fear was, to start the season, that they weren't going to showcase him enough while you had a healthy J.K. Dobbins. My worry was, if J.K. goes down, because he has a history of going down, would we know who or what you have in R.J. Harvey? And here we sit. Now, all that being said, you're 10-2, but Mike, without a strong rushing game in the playoffs, that's a little concerning to me, because Bo isn't Patrick Mahomes yet. He's not a Josh Allen. He's not Joe Burrow. He can't put a team on his back. We've seen him do it in drives. We've seen him do it in moments. You know, that touchdown to Courtland Sutton turned out to be huge, and that's one of the plays of the year, maybe the player of the year. The Benito play, probably bigger than that one. But offensively, that Bo Nix falling down throw to Courtland Sutton in the end zone last week, or take any of the great plays Bo made in that fourth quarter against the Giants, I just don't know that he does that on a regular... He doesn't do that on a regular basis. And at this point, I think it's fair to say you kind of have what you got in Bo Nix, at least for this season. Getting him some real playoff experience is going to be big, but I want to see that complete game from Bo. There are some people that say he had a complete game last week. He didn't. He disappeared, the offense disappeared in the fourth quarter. So you have a great defense who maybe got a little dent put in him last week, and now you got to wonder if Washington had something figured out offensively to go against that defense, and we'll find out here in the next 5 weeks if that's the case. But that's your strength. And if your strength does kind of... Because I think you mentioned this Monday. That was a team win. Because when the offense stalled, the defense stepped up. When the defense was giving up points, the offense answered. That's the ticket. But the consistent strength of this team has been the defense. And... You didn't develop a run game. Although I will say this, a young quarterback's best friend is always a good run game or a tight end. And it does seem like Bo and Evan Engram are really starting to click. I would imagine. Now, Sean Payton said the other day, I think the Denver Post talked about it, you know, with that connection, we haven't seen anything yet. And here's what I'm saying. Why not? Like, what's the holdup here? Let's get it going. Let's get Bo and Evan Engram. Let's get that connection really rocking, and let's see it against the Raiders on December 7th at 2:05. Because that game is big, Mike. The Raiders are done. They're waving the white flag, but that is a common opponent game in the tie-breaking scenario between the Broncos and the Patriots. it's also an AFC game, so it kind of goes in, it goes in all in one. It's a monster game. If you are going to drop one game this year, because you're assuming that maybe the Patriots could still drop one or two, if you're going to drop one, that needs to be against the Packers. And the one you really, really need to win, it's not just because it's the next one, but because it is the Raiders game. And this is, you know, the Raiders beat the Patriots. So for as good as we're talking about the Patriots, remember, at the beginning of the season, first game, I believe, they lost to the Raiders. And I'm going to do some deep diving into the Patriots, too, as we get going, because that does look like the team maybe to beat in the AFC, but there are a lot of people that just don't buy it yet, because they did have an easier schedule. But unlike college football, you get in with your record. Your record clearly states where you're going to be sitting in the college football, in the NFL playoffs. College football's on my mind these days, guys. I'm sorry. It's time of year, right? Big Hub, do you believe no G4 teams should get in the playoff? Do I believe no G4 teams should get in the playoff? No. I think more G4 teams, or oh, G4, sorry, not Power 4. My bad, Big Hub, I read that wrong. No, I believe they should get in the playoffs. Yes, I like the idea of a conference champ getting in. Excuse me, I like the idea of multiple G4s getting in, but you hate that idea. I just think it'd be fun. 12:40 the time, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
1, 2, 3, up. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want her? But can't stand to see me walk out the door.
Welcome back into the show. Yeah, should the Broncos have thought a little bit more about picking up a free agent on the running back side instead of going with Elijah Moore?
Maybe they should have thought more about it.
No. Who are you going to get? He said, Chris says, is Ezekiel Elliott sitting on the couch waiting for a call? I would say no. We wouldn't want, you wouldn't want to go that route, would you? No. I think now it's kind of if you're having a hard time giving the ball to J.K. Dobbins when he was healthy, and now R.J. Harvey and Jaleel McLaughlin, I don't know that bringing in another running back really makes much sense, because I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Sean Payton's going to use those guys anymore. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's out there. Mike Boone's out there, former Bronco. Cordell Patterson, Donta Freeman, Jamal Williams, Zach Moss. Gus Edwards. I just don't know that any of those names make more sense than what you're doing right now. So, for better or worse, I think this running back room is what we're going with. I just want to see a little bit more from this. And Michael, you remember this was the game against the Raiders is where they ran early with J.K. Dobbins, and then they went away from him completely, and then they went back to him hard. So he ended up with like 18 carries, but a lot of those were in clumps. And their best drives against the Raiders were when they were running the ball. You know, last week against the Commanders, the Broncos ran 23 times compared to throwing it 45 times. R.J. Harvey had 13 carries for 35 yards, and Jaleel McLaughlin had 6 carries for 24 yards. I just don't think anything's going to change. If you bring Ezekiel Elliott in, it's just another body. At least Sean Payton's going with what he does. He wants to throw the ball. He has to remind himself to run. He wants to throw it. So he's going to take their open spots and put on. Now, again, Elijah Moore's on the practice squad, but maybe he'll bump up. He's going to go with guys that can help him, if he believes, help him get more creative in the pass game than possibly in the run game. So I don't see any guys sitting on their couch right now waiting for a call. I don't see Sean calling those guys. I don't see it happening. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Check them out online at diamondvalleycollectibles.com. They got your Legos, man. Legos are just like killing it right now. Michael, I know you're a fan, but they're doing these like movie set type deals, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Star Trek, Star Wars, all of it. They've got that kind of stuff available at Diamond Valley Collectibles. If you guys walk in the store, it's a smaller store, but man, when you go in there, the way they have it designed, it is awesome. The layout, everything's behind this counter. You can go look at the sports memorabilia. It was packed when I went in about 2 weeks ago. And just kids, adults, going through everything, sifting through the cards, asking about the Lego pieces, looking at Funko Pops, Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. 12:49, the time. Michael, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up in the final hour, we got buy or sell, and then the Thursday night special. Mike? Yeah, it's on life support again. We didn't have a successful Thanksgiving. Not as successful as I wanted to be. I'm sitting at 7-8. Tonight's to get back to 500. We got to at least be there. So it's a big one. And we got Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado one. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening in your community. Sports news and talk. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
According to Kevin Lytle, the most high-profile is recruit that the Rams just signed is three-star quarterback Carter Emanuel, who was committed to UConn or has been since June, and he also has several Power 4 offers but wanted to play for Jim Mora. He said Mora's a winning coach. He's a great, genuine guy and a family guy that you want to be around. He wrote in the Daytona Beach News Journal about his signing with CSU. His stats, Kevin outlines here, and we'll get to that in the second hour. We got a lot to get to. We got the Thursday night special. We got Kevin Lytle with the Coloradoan joining us. We've got buy or sell, and then what do we learn, if anything? It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Don't go anywhere. I promise. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.